And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
15. On today's Fantasy Baseball in 15, we'll look at a pair of struggling closers and a couple of followers worth starting.
Like death and taxes, Dodger's been a Dodger.
I have not had three cold brews yet.
It works great in a fantasy league.
I'm just glad I am not at the dentist.
Fantasy Baseball in 15 on The Athletic.
Welcome to Fantasy Baseball in 15, presented by Topps. Check out Topps Project 70, celebrating 70 years of Topps baseball cards. Michael Beller and Al Melchior here with you on Thursday, August 19th. Let's jump into the news and notes. Great news on Chris Bassitt. Got to start there. He received stitches for facial lacerations. We'll have surgery and a fractured cheek and jaw bone. Obviously, that doesn't sound great on paper, but this could have been a whole lot worse. So everyone very thankful for that. Paul Blackburn was called up from AAA Las Vegas and started on Wednesday night against the White Sox. So have to imagine he'll be remaining in the rotation for the foreseeable future. The Mets are, quote, leaning towards shutting Jacob DeGrom down for the season. A really unfortunate turn of events here. Obviously, DeGrom has dealt with these injuries for most of the year and has been able to pitch through some of them. Not all of them. Maybe they shouldn't have pitched through some of them. That's another discussion for another topic. But looking like DeGrom could be done for the year, which maybe would mean the Mets are done for the year, too. Javier Baez may return to that Mets lineup on Sunday, dealing with a back issue. Patrick Sandoval going to the IL with lumbar spine stress reaction. Joe Maddon says it could be a season ender. Jose Quintana going to get a start on Thursday against Detroit. Freddy Peralta exited against the Cardinals with right shoulder discomfort. Not initially hurt on a swing, and thinks he'll be ready to make his next start. So that is good for sure. We'll keep an eye on that. Anthony DeSclafani leaving the game early with ankle discomfort. Anthony Rizzo and Ryan Yarbrough activated from the COVID IL. Akil Badu and Derek Hill both started rehab assignments with AAA Toledo on Wednesday night. Cubs are expecting to recall Keegan Thompson to start Saturday against the Royals. And Freddie Freeman hit for the cycle against the Marlins. Some closer stuff to get to. Al, first, Aroldis Chapman was activated, removed in the ninth inning against Boston with two outs, runners at the corners, and a 5-2 lead. He had already allowed a home run to Hunter Renfrow. Lucas Litke gets a one-out save in that one. It's his first game back, but we were already having how concerned are you discussions about Chapman. So how concerned are you after this one, Al?
Well, definitely given that, he didn't get the third out there, because, we can certainly just speculate and say, well, it's the first start back, and, maybe the Yankees are just going to give him some time to get back into form here. But, that's a pretty short leash that he had on Wednesday. So, I'm definitely a little bit concerned. And given that in the past that Aaron Boone has shown a proclivity to put Chapman into a lower intensity role while he's working things out, and they've got some options with Chad Green and Jonathan Loaisiga. So, yeah, I'm not taking it as a given that Chapman gets the Yankees' next save.
Alex Reyes blew a save also, this one coming against the Brewers in the ninth inning because of an Avisail Garcia home run, and then lost it in the 10th on three unearned runs, but still does have that L next to his name. After a banner start to the season, Alex Reyes has been a little bit more up and down in the last, month or so. Are you concerned at all with his role in St. Louis going forward?
Not as of yet. And again, just sort of like I was saying with Chapman, where the Yankees have shown a proclivity to go with a certain kind of pattern with these struggles. When he struggles, the pattern we're seeing in St. Louis is that Alex Reyes gets opportunity after opportunity to work this out. And it's not like they've really had great alternatives in recent weeks. So at this point, I do think Alex Reyes probably gets the next save chance for the Cardinals.
Move on to the standouts from Wednesday. Start with, four two-home-run games. The first of, a bunch of them, really not too much to say because these guys are widely rostered and widely loved by their fantasy managers, Marcus Semien, Max Muncy, Avisail Garcia, all going deep twice. Semien's up to 29 homers on the year, Muncy to 28, Garcia to 23. I will just put in a plug for Marcus Semien might have been the best offseason move that any team in the majors made, with the Blue Jays getting him and what he's done for that team, how he has stabilized that top of the lineup, especially with George Springer missing as much time as he has, going back and forth between the IL. There is a strong argument to be made, I think, Al, that Marcus Semien was the best real-life acquisition that was made during this offseason. Stealing a ton of bases, just been a great, great get for those Toronto Blue Jays. The next two-homer game belongs to Will Myers. He now has 15 on the season. He started 2 of 4 games since Fernando Tatis has returned, as has Tommy Pham. What are you doing with Will Myers right now?
Oh, I think I'm holding for the time being, as long as I've got him in leagues where I do have a place to stash him for the time being. But I'm watching this one closely because it's not really been a great season for Myers. It's not too surprising that he's looking like at least one of the players that's losing some playing time, with Tatis getting moved to the outfield. So it's going to be interesting to see how this works out, whether it is he and Tommy Pham who kind of share a spot, or if one gains the upper hand over the other. But as far as Myers is concerned, I mean, what he's doing this year, while it does seem a little disappointing, it's not that far out of line with what he's done most seasons. It's just that short 2020 season really looking like a big-time outlier right now. So expectations should definitely be lower for Myers if they aren't already. And now the playing time's a concern.
Wander Franco starting to figure things out, it seems. Went 3 for 4 with a double against the Orioles. It was his 7th double of the season. Made 101 plate appearances since July 22nd, Al, sporting a .304, .366, .500 slash line in that time. Sometimes it's just a matter of time, isn't it? Especially with a guy as talented as Wander.
I think that's the takeaway here for sure. You know, took him about a month to kind of get his footing with major league pitching, but you know, now it's been almost a full month, like you said, going back to July 22nd, where he's been producing pretty consistently, putting up a really robust slash line there over a pretty nice sample of plate appearances. So I've got him in a 12-teamer. And I probably about 2 weeks ago, I just decided it's just set him and forget him, keep him in the lineup. I think he's earned that at this point.
And what? So now it's set him and forget him in fantasy leagues and in the majors for, oh, I don't know, the next 15 years or so for Wander Franco. Ryan Yarbrough was in that game as a follower, and in that game pretty damn well. 5 innings pitched, didn't allow a run, just 1 hit, no walks, 3 Ks in that game. Hasn't walked more than 2 batters in any appearance all season, and 2nd on fly and liner exit velocity behind Corbin Burns. That is some nice company that Ryan Yarbrough's keeping. Is he doing enough in the role that he inhabits in Tampa to warrant plenty of fantasy interest, Al?
I think probably more than he's been getting, just because the results don't really add up when you break down the peripherals. That stat that you cited with the walks was something that really surprised me, because Yarbrough has always been somebody who's been very, very stingy with walks, but just looking at his game log, I was really pretty surprised by that. So, I mean, he's just been absolutely consistent in that regard. He's been absolutely consistent at avoiding hard airborne contact pretty much for his entire career. So it's just a little strange to see his ERA up where it is. And I think that there's probably going to be some positive correction coming for him and the start against the Orioles. Yes, against the Orioles, granted. Take that into account. But I think there's going to be a little bit more where this came from.
Mitch White also taking advantage as a follower against in a good matchup against the Pirates. Went 7 1/3 in his follower appearance. No runs, 2 hits, 2 walks, 6 Ks. And Josiah Graham and lump them together just because they were once upon a time, not too long ago, teammates, or at least in the same system. I'm sure there were teammates somewhere along the way. Josiah Gray went 6 innings against the Blue Jays, gave up his 2 runs on 5 hits and a walk, struck out 4. Looking at these two young guys, how interested are you in them the remainder of the season?
I'm really interested in Gray. And in that 12-teamer where I mentioned that I've got Wander Franco, I picked up Gray a couple weeks back. Probably not keeping him in the rotation in that league every single week. In fact, I didn't start him this week because of the matchup. Obviously, that has not worked out very well for me. And I was concerned about home runs, and both of those runs were scored on homers. So with his fly ball tendencies, that's going to be an issue. You do have to look at matchups with Josiah Gray. But there's going to be, I think, a lot of the remaining weeks where I am going to want to start him him even in a 12-team league. So I'm pretty clear on that. Mitch White, I'm still waiting to see what his role is going to be going forward. Obviously helped himself a lot with this start against the Pirates. The Dodgers currently don't have a lot of options, but, you know, come September, maybe we see, hopefully we see Clayton Kershaw back. But in the short term, I think White is somebody to consider, probably not in 12 teamers for me, but I'd say in any league deeper than that, White is definitely on my radar.
The yo-yo season for Tarek Skubal continues unabated. I guess in this analogy, I'm not sure if the down position or the up position is good for the yo-yo, but whichever one it is, that's where Tarek Skubal is right now. Seven strikeouts in 6 2/3 against the Angels on Wednesday. Gave up 6 hits and 2 runs in that time. Over his last three, 17 2/3, just 2 runs allowed, 17 Ks against 2 walks, 1 homer in that time. So good Skubal is thumbs up, correct, Al?
Yeah, it is. And we talked about him after his last start, too. And, you know, I had mentioned that I, you know, maybe gave up on Skubal a little bit too early this season. I thought after the last downturn that he was kind of done for the year, and he's definitely proven me wrong. I do want to note that this latest start was against the Angels, and I don't want to discredit it just because of the matchup, because, you know, good pitchers, you know, are going to pitch well against bad teams. But I have noticed that since All-Star break, the Angels aren't quite at the Texas Rangers level, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, but they're kind of just like a half step up from that, really hitting for very little power, you know, especially with Mike Trout still out of the lineup. So I think this is a team that maybe we should be talking a little bit more about picking on in the weeks to come.
All right, two more pitchers to talk about. One I'm going to fly through. That's the first one. The second one, I've got a question for you. Brady Singer looked really good against the Astros. Gave up just 2 runs in 6 2/3. Walked 2, struck out 6. Again, that's that Astros matchup. He has the Astros again next week. He's probably just a streamer, even with the 364 BABIP, and it might be tough to stream him in that Houston matchup. We can get into that a little bit more in a later show. We're running a little thin on time here. Marco Gonzalez, good call by you, Al. We talked about Marco Gonzalez and Ranger Suarez as streamers. You said, not so sure about Suarez. He got roughed up by Arizona, but yes on Marco Gonzalez, and he did his part. Did have to dance around 6 hits and a walk in 5 1/3, but didn't give up any runs. Struck out 3 against the Rangers, and now over his last three, 32 2/3, 25 Ks against 6 walks, just a pair of homers allowed, a 1.10 ERA. Next week, Oakland and Kansas City. That's all systems go sort of week, correct?
I think so. I mean, Gonzalez in the last five has had 3 starts against the Rangers, so that pads those stats a little bit. Rangers, obviously, just a great matchup for almost everybody. But yeah, at Oakland, a little scary, but I think as a double dip when you got the Royals winding it up, you can feel all right about starting Gonzalez next week.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Al, Thursday streamers are now on tap here. Again, just two. We've got a little bit of a short slate. Two guys that jump out at us. Chris Flexen getting that Texas matchup. Madison Bumgarner against the Phillies. So, hey, the exact same Matt Games that we talked about yesterday, just different pitchers and one different side in this one. Who you got as a streamer today?
I've got Chris Flexen. I'm going to go with the same pattern here. I mean, Bumgarner, I'm not sure how he's doing it, but he's been so consistently good since coming back from the IL. But going up against the Phillies and Zach Wheeler, I'd feel much safer about going with Chris Flexen here. And just, you know, bear in mind that these two pitchers are rostered in a fair number of leagues, so it just might be a no-streamer day.
All right, and then let's wrap things up with the Stockwatch here. On the positive side, we've got CJ Krohn and Bailey Ober. Krohn is 22 for his last 49 with 7 homers in that stretch, 8 Ks against 8 walks. Very nice. Next week, he's got 3 at the Cubs and 3 at the Dodgers, so that feels like pretty easy. Thumbs up, get him into your lineup. Ober, over his last 5 starts, has struck out 24 batters and walked just 4 in 25 and two-thirds innings. He's a 2.81 ERA in that stretch, and since June 25th, 10th in called and swinging strike rate. So, Krohn, to me, is just a pretty slam-dunky situation. Ober, though, I mean, is he someone who needs more attention as something more than a streamer?
He absolutely does. I think that we as a community have not really been caught up with Ober and what he's done over the last several starts. But yeah, I'm all in, picking him up where I can, certainly deeper than 12 team. And Krohn, I would just say that the recent change for him is he's hitting on the road now too. So even though he's got a couple of road series coming up, especially with that one at the Cubs, yeah, I agree with you. That's a slam dunk to start him.
Jose Altuve is on the downside, 13 for his last 61, no homers, no barrels in that time. And, you know, obviously you're not going to be sitting Jose Altuve. Have to believe he'll turn things around. Sonny Gray over his last 6 has just not looked good at all. 28 and two-thirds innings with a 7.22 ERA, 14 walks in that time. He does have 33 Ks, but not really taking much solace in that when the ERA is north of 7 and the whip sitting at 1.6. Really quick here, Al, we're running out of time. Would you think about sitting Sonny Gray until you see something better?
Yeah, and that's a real situation for me, so I probably am going to sit him next week.
All right, that's going to do it for this episode of Fantasy Baseball in 15. Rate, review, subscribe, all of that fun stuff. The show returns Friday. I will not be on it. That'll be Al Melchior and Derek Van Riper, so everyone's probably pretty happy about that. Have a good day. Have a good time enjoying all the baseball. We'll talk to you on Friday.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a 1-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.